Subject this morning has to do with discipline. Discipline in the Christian life. If you come to this subject in the Scriptures, you find that there is no large segment that deals exclusively with the subject. If you want to study love, you can go to 1 Corinthians 13, a whole chapter. If you want to study faith, you go to Hebrews 11, a whole chapter. If you want to study prayer, there's many passages. But when you come to discipline, where do you go? The disciple's life. And in that sense, I think it's scattered throughout the Scriptures. Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You can't do that without discipline. Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. You can't do that without discipline. 2 Corinthians 7:1, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh. You can't do that without discipline. John 8:31, if my words abide in you, then are you truly disciples of mine. You can't do that without discipline. Well, what is it? What is discipline? One passage that will give us some help on this is 2 Timothy 1:7. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and of love and discipline, it says in this translation. Power and love and discipline. Well, what does discipline mean here? This is one of those times, Joe, that the King James had it. Discipline means a sound mind, which is what it says in the King James. It's a sound mind or sound judgment. And it signifies here, according to Vincent's word studies in the New Testament, the entire command of the passions and desires. A self-control which holds the rein over these. That's what discipline is. You look in Webster's dictionary and he gives that same thought. It's self-control. Another aspect of discipline is temperance. Temperance has a similar thought. It's self-restraint. It's to hold the passions and the desires in hand. The two ingredients, self-control, self-restraint. Discipline keeps me from doing what I shouldn't do. It directs me to do what I should do. And a definition that I heard a few years back that I don't think I can improve on is simply this. Discipline is choosing against yourself in favor of God. Right, with this definition in mind, I'd like to consider this morning three aspects of discipline with you. First of all, the direction of discipline, or where are you going? And then determination, or have you made up your mind? And thirdly, duration, or are you going to stick with it? So, direction. Where are you going? One July morning in 1938, out in the state of New York, a man by the name of Doug Corrigan got into an airplane. He had 30 hours of fuel aboard. And those were the early days of aviation. And he took off in an early morning fog, bound for Los Angeles. That was his destination. He landed 27 hours later. His destination was Los Angeles. You know where he landed? Dublin, Ireland. Doug Corrigan made aviation history. And he picked up that name, Wrong Way Corrigan, heading for Los Angeles, and wound up in Dublin, Ireland. He was a hero. Leads us to the question, what is the objective then, or the destination, of discipline? Where does it lead to? Because, I say this, because discipline can only make sense as it relates to an objective. Well, what is the objective? The objective is this, that I may know Him. The objective for every believer is our conference theme, to know Him. Philippians 3:10. Let me give you this from the Amplified. For my determined purpose is that I may know Him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of His person more strongly and more clearly. That's the objective of discipline, to know Him. If there's no objective, discipline doesn't make sense. Discipline for discipline's sake, I don't think will last very long. Had a friend in the military who had spent a little while in the Marine Corps until they found out his age and they asked him to leave. He used to button every button in his shirts, in his wall locker. Every one of them, every time. I didn't think it made much sense. There was discipline, but it didn't communicate to me. The fruits of discipline have to be kept in mind when we're involved in the process. And I think the principle is stated in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 10. It says, for our sake it was written, because the plowman ought to plow in hope, and the thresher to thresh in hope of sharing the crops. If there's no objective out there, there's no hope, then it doesn't make any sense. There has to be something that I'm striving for. And I discipline myself in the intake of the Word of God, in Bible study, in Scripture memory, in devotional time, and in prayer, because they assist me in getting to that objective, to know Christ. So, suppose you study for 4 hours a week. Maybe you memorize 5 verses. You spend an hour a day in prayer. Why would you do that? So that you could say, well, I study so much, I memorize so much, I pray so much. No. You do that so that you can expose yourself to the Word of God and to the Spirit of God. And if you don't have the discipline, you will never do it. The discipline is not the answer, but discipline is what puts you on the track to give you the exposure to the Word of God. Well, why would you do that? 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. I do that because I'm committed to the fact that I will not grow in any other way outside of the exposure to the Word of God. I will not grow in any other way. So discipline is self-control. It involves direction, having an objective. Where are you going? And that objective is to know Christ and to know Him more deeply and more intimately as you go through life. Our second consideration is determination. Have you made up your mind? Once you have the objective in mind, where you're going, then you have to make up your mind that you're going to do it. If you establish the direction, then you have to have the determination. And determination, defined, is simply the act of deciding definitely and firmly that you will do it. I have a habit of filling my car at the self-service place. And I notice that I fill the thing and then I overfill it. And it spills down the side. And it looks kind of icky. Then when you wash the car, it still looks icky because the thing is stained. And one day when I was filling my gas tank, looking at that stain, I thought, why don't I decide that I won't overfill it? And so I did. And if you want to go look at my car right now, it won't have that icky stain going down it. Because I made that decision. Definitely and firmly, I will not spill the gasoline over and run down the side. That was an act of determination. Now, one of the reasons I think that some people never lead a disciplined life is simply they have never determined to do it. Never determined. And in thinking about determination, some of the thoughts that I have, I got while I was out running. And I remember one particular day, I went running with Mark Couples, who lives in our home, which was a mistake. Because Mark had a secret hill that he was going to take me up. And it was a kind of a long, gradual hill, and then you thought, oh, it's almost over with. It leveled out a little bit, and when you got there, it did this number. And he was laying for me. And the thought occurred to me, you know, you don't decide if you're going to run when you're 3/4 of the way up the hill and your lungs feel like a blast furnace and your feet feel like cement. That is not the time to be speculating on whether or not you should run. That decision has to be made before you start. And that is determination. I determine to do it before I get into the heat of the thing. And that brought to the mind the word wandering. And Proverbs 21 speaks of this, 21:16. Talks about, it seems to me, the man who wanders. A man who wanders from the way of understanding will rest in the assembly of the dead. And it seems to me that a man who's not determined to lead a disciplined life, he has that wandering factor in his life. And we meet people, it seems to me, that wander through our Bible studies in different places. They wander into our fellowship and wander out, and they wander into somebody else's fellowship and wander out. And there's just no direction, there's no determination there. Flip over to 1 Corinthians 9 and let's look at some of the characteristics of one who is determined. This is 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. And everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. But I buffet my body and make it my slave, lest possibly, after I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. Verse 25, a disciplined man exercises self-control in all things. All things. A disciplined life is a lifestyle. He exercises self-control in all things. A lifestyle. I distinctly remember one time in Colorado Springs making a visit to Fort Carson with a friend of mine. We were looking up his cousin or something. It was on a Sunday night. And we walked into this barracks looking for him. And here lived all these men who had been exposed to very strict discipline in basic training. And I think all the men here know what we're talking about and some of the ladies. In basic training, everything is squared away. There's not any dirt anywhere. There's nothing out of order anywhere. If it is, it's not that way very long. And we walked into this barracks on a Sunday night. And it looked like a cyclone had come through there. It was really raunchy. Well, what's the problem? Discipline was not a lifestyle to them. Something that they had been exposed to, heard about, and subjected to for a short period of time. But they had never made any commitment to live like that. And discipline is a lifestyle. A disciplined man also has the reward in view. Because the wreath that he's looking for is an imperishable one. We're going to spend eternity with Christ. And how well are we getting to know him now? We must determine then that we will do everything we can to discipline ourselves, to give us the exposure to the Word and to Jesus, so that he can affect his life in us. Another aspect of discipline is duration. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Duration. Are you going to hang in there? What we're talking about is endurance. Endurance here has a very interesting definition. It means passive endurance and active persistence. And that's why I gave it the free translation of hanging in there. That's what endurance is. Had some time recently with a young man. He's in the military now. He spent about 4 years at a university in America. And for those 4 years, he had lived a disciplined life and his intake of the Word. And since he's come in the military, he's effectively given up everything. He doesn't do that anymore. Very lethargic about the things of the Lord. It's a heartbreak. No endurance. Very lukewarm about the things of God. What Jesus had in mind, I think, was laborers. You remember the passage there. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers. People who can endure. We pick up a sense of this, I think, in Colossians 1:29. What does that mean to be a laborer? What does it mean to endure? Colossians 1:29, 28, you know, it talks about admonishing every man and teaching every man all that we know about him. And then 29, and for this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power which mightily works within me. Labor here means laboring to the point of exhaustion. But you can only do that in his power. That's endurance. Laboring to the point of exhaustion. I think we saw some examples of that first part of the week here. If you were close to any of those fellows who had charge of registration, they labored to the point of exhaustion the week before and the night of the conference. I had some personal experience with this about a year ago. Joe Holt came down to see us, and he brought his running gear. And so we decided to run. Now, Joe's not fast. He only has one speed, as a matter of fact, but it's called plod. And once he gets started on plod, you can't get him shut off. At that time, I was running about 3 miles, which I thought was pretty good. So we started running, and, you know, after you get into the mission a little while, you say, how far you want to run, Joe? Well, let's run ahead and we'll decide. What happened was we ran about 8 miles. What that does, that doubled my distance, but it tripled my time. It took us 3 times to run twice as far. And then when it was finally over with, we came back home and I was sick. Went to bed early. Joe went out to dinner with some friends. Had a great time. What's the problem? Well, no endurance. Faded in the heat. The long haul, we need endurance. Flip over to 2 Timothy 4. Second Timothy was probably written somewhere on the order of 60 to 65 A.D. The Apostle Paul had met the Lord probably on the order of 35 A.D., something like that. So at this point, he has served the Lord for 30 to 35 years, and he's near the end of his life. And he says this, for I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. It's about over with. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. 35 years later. The disciplined life is for the long haul. What will you say near the end of your life, 35 years from now? Have you committed yourself to be a disciplined follower of Christ until the day you die? In connection with discipline, let me give you just some practical suggestions. Keep in mind what we pointed out from 2 Timothy 1, the source of discipline is God. And it's not something that I can conjure up in my own strength. First thing I would say is set some attainable goals. I don't think there's any merit in saying that I will memorize a verse a day if, in fact, you're falling miserably short of that. Perhaps the goal is too high. And as it regards to discipline and the discipline of scripture memory and Bible study and things like this, one of the things that helps me is to think in terms of the climate versus the weather. On any given day, the weather is thus and so, but the overall climate is what is the most important. Now, when for a period of time we lived in Jacksonville, Florida, and I remember one summer I almost passed out from heat exhaustion. And the fellows down there, they have a saying, the old timers, they talk about, don't let the bear get you. And the bear means heat exhaustion. But just a few months previously, we'd been repairing frozen water pipes. But the overall climate is what's important. Not what's happening on any given day. You need balance there because I think God is bigger than a 24-hour period. But so many 24-hour periods together, that's what you have to be concerned about. How do they stack up? I think another thing that helps is to fellowship with disciplined people. Proverbs 13:20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. A companion of fools will be destroyed. Fellowship with disciplined people. I remember the first Navigator conference I ever went to. I felt like it. Like a lion in a den full of Daniels. Everybody there was a prophet. Fellows my own age. Loved God, hated sin, excited about the Bible, wanted to pray. That stimulated me and made a lasting impact on my life, because I was fellowshipping with disciplined people. And I'd had a man who had been telling me all these things. So when I got to the conference and some folks there told me the same thing, it finally registered. So, discipline then is essential to the Christian life. It lays at the foundation. It involves direction. Where are you going? It involves determination. Have you made up your mind? It involves duration. Sticking with it over the long haul. So how about it? Are there some areas in your life that needs some discipline? What about the basics? What about eye control, fellas? What about tongue control? What about thought control? What about weight control? God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of discipline. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the access we have to the throne of grace. And Lord, you know each heart, and we ask you right now to show us those areas that you want to deal with us. And we know it's in your power and in your strength that we can lead a disciplined life. So Lord, help us to make that commitment and that determination to do it. To your glory and to your honor, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.